don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. We are in California. We are on the left coast hanging out with our colorful folks from this part of the country. You know, we were at the Long Beach Dive Show. We're going to get into that here in just a little bit later on the big show. However, right now we are on a boat. About to partake in my first California dive with my close personal friend, Bob Evans from Force Fins. How are you, Bob?
Hey, can I hardly wait, Greg?
Is that your seal impression or what? What was that?
We're just so excited. Billy Meister, we haven't dove together. And we have a birthday girl here. Jenna, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Bob Maestro at the wheel.
Bob Maestro's at the wheel.
That's right. We are on the official Body Glove boat today, aren't we?
We're right out here with Body Glove. Hey, say hi, Billy.
How you doing? Yeah. We're out here for another hard day's work.
Yeah, exactly.
Hard day's work here with the Body Glove crew. We got three generations of Body Glove folks here, right, Billy?
Three generations of maestros on the boat today.
And Jenna is the youngest. She is celebrating her 25th birthday. Happy birthday, Jenna.
Thank you very much.
And we got her taking her out, taking our crew out here.
On her birthday.
On her birthday. She's working on her birthday.
That makes it even more special. That's like super special. We're always going to remember this.
Now, let's talk about this. Where are we exactly? Because this is my first California dive in 15 years of doing scuba radio. I've never had the opportunity to dive off the California coast until Bob Evans and the folks at Body Glove made this possible for us.
Nodding, aren't we?
What was that? What are you doing?
We're getting ready to go on the kelp. Look at this kelp. It's unbelievable. We can see the surface from right here.
Yeah, this is amazing. I've seen plenty of video. I've been to the Long Beach Aquarium.
Bob Meisel's at the wheel. Let's ask him how's it going. Bob,
well, he's working this boat.
How's it going?
How you doing, Bob?
We're a good place to dive. We're about 58 feet of water. I'm going to drop the anchor here because it's sandy. And then you guys can dive right back here in the kelp, okay?
Oh, that sounds great. And we're going to talk to Bob more. We don't want to distract him because he's actually captaining
dive.
Oh, wait a minute. I still have a microphone in my hand.
Get your body glove suits on. Let's go.
We're going to do this. This is going to be amazing. There's sea lions all over the place. And Bob's calling him in. I think that was Bob Evans' mating call for the sea lions here
Billy,
in California.
Are you ready?
There they are. Billy, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Everybody's ready. We're ready. We're just kind of trying to anchor up, or he's dropping the anchor right now. Where are we exactly? Palos Verdes? Yeah.
540 feet bottom depth, over.
Okay, no. Where we are geographically, Billy?
We're off Palos Verdes. Okay. Actually, a spot called, used to be Marine Land. Before SeaWorld, it was the Marine Sanctuary Park.
Very nice. Okay, and Bob, this is where you and the Body Glove, you guys like cut your teeth on diving here, right?
This is where we grew up. Yeah, right out here.
So, and that's what, you know, when we were planning this trip out to California, Bob Evans from Force Fin says, Greg, you know, we've been talking about this actually for a few years. He said, let's make this happen where I take you out to the place where I learned to dive.
Yeah.
And this will be your first California dive.
Free ascent from 150 feet.
Now, we're going to see, we're already seeing sea lions. We're going to see kelp. Maybe some lobsters, a great white or two, right?
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah.
If we're lucky.
right?
Yeah, Billy.
The seals like Bob a lot, so if you want to see him, stick around him.
Yeah. Is that what it is? Is it because you're making? Is it because he's making that mating call thing, or is it the look?
Movement. Yeah. Movement.
The look. You just have that sea lion look.
My mask.
So if we're lucky, we might see kind of some natural interspecies mating thing going on.
Body language.
Captain, are we down?
What are we?
You want to hear a funny story? We came out here one time. I just invented a marker buoy, and they were two floats from a gas tank on a jet airplane, and they bought them. They were surplus, and I taped them together and dipped them in this bright orange plastic stuff. So we put 100 feet of line around each one of them and came out here, and we had double tanks on. We had the Linda K parked right out there, and we all dove, and we found 28 anchors in one dive. And so the little ones, the ones with the small string on it, we put on an anchor so big you couldn't lift it. You'd have to go down and dive for it and put a bigger thing on. So we were setting up eating lunch, and here's all our boys floating out there, and the crew come in and blew them all down. And so we had to go back in and re-dive them all, and we only found about 12 of them after that.
Well, you just never know. Well, what about right here? Are there currents here? Or what?
I don't think there's any current today.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it.
Straight up and down here, the kelp looks really good.
Yeah, this is just a beautiful scenic view we have off the coast of the Body Glove Boat. Wait, by the way, what is the name of this boat? The Body Glove Boat or what?
Well, it's a disappearance. We disappear a lot.
Okay, so we're going to be abducted by aliens or something and show up in another decade. What's that?
Well, everybody knows it's the Body Glove Boat, but it's really called the Disappearance. That's the legal name of it.
The legal name. All right. We're on the Disappearance.
I said, this is Bob Meister on the Body Glove Boat. We have disappeared. When we reappear, I'll give you a call.
Very nice. All right. That's great.
How about cigarette smoking on board?
If you're smoking on this boat, you better be on fire.
What are we going to do? Maybe we can build a fire, sing a couple of songs, huh? Why don't we try that?
Okay, so he doesn't approve of that, which is good, because it just cuts down on your bottom time as well. Now, we're also here with the Scuba Cowboy and Mermaid Tiffany. Are you ready for this, Cowboy?
I'm absolutely pumped. Are you kidding? We're on the Body Glove Boat.
Yeah, Tiffany, what do you think? You seem a little... you were asking about the great whites. That's why I had to get that little comment before that we could see those here in California. We see all the reports, and if we're lucky, we might see one, right?
I suppose so. I'm not sure if I should take the sea lions as a good thing, because they'll go after them, or as a bad thing, because they draw them. But you're here, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, what are you saying? That I'm planning to use you as a human shield.
Okay, good luck with that.
What she's saying, Greg, is that basically they go for the weakest one first, so you're out of here, bud. Sorry.
I don't buy that. I'm not going with that one. But, this is really a remarkable scene we have. It's a steep cliff right here off of Palos Verdes dive site that we're here. And I don't know. This is going to be pretty remarkable stuff, I have no doubt. The only thing we haven't talked about so far is the water temperature. And I've been told it's about 65. We have obviously, we're going to be equipped properly with body glove wetsuits. We also have a new little tricky thing, a heated rash guard that we're going to wear that has battery packs on it. So we're going to put this thing to the test, because supposedly this is going to solve any issues when it comes to cold water diving. When we come back next, we're going to be back from our first dive in California. Oh, but wait, we got to sing happy birthday first. So let's get this out of the way, then we'll jump in the water. Ready? One, two, three.
Happy birthday.
Body Glove.
Happy birthday to you.
All right, there you go. Jenna, how old do you feel, even though it's your birthday today, and that you have to spend it with our crew?
Well, I thought it was my 21st birthday, so I feel younger.
Yes, okay, we'll just leave it at that. Yeah, but we do appreciate you putting up with our nonsense, especially on your birthday. Having to work on your birthday really kind of stinks.
Well, I'm the one that lucked out. I got to go diving with you guys. If not, I would have been in the office, so it was an awesome day.
It has been indeed, for sure. And then Bob Evans is with us as well. He's filming the festivities. Bob, you're having fun, though, aren't you?
Where's my mask?
Yes, we're going to get to the bottom of Bob's missing mask. because, you know, things happen sometimes here when you're diving. And it's been a while since you've been in the water, right, Bob? You had a bit of a mishap. Do we talk about that now or later?
No.
Never?
Never.
Oh, now, later, or never?
Got eaten by the kelp bed.
Yes. Well, we had a fantastic dive. My first California dive here with the folks from Body Glove. Jenna, her and the gang took us out here, and we got to experience what they have just off the coast of Redondo Beach for the first time ever. And it was a ball. I know you had some issues there, Bob, but that was still fun for me.
Where's my weight belt?
Yes. He had a weight belt issue. He had a mask issue. And what else?
Other than that, we had a great time.
Yeah, we had a great time. Bob had issues.
I filmed the mermaid.
That's right. We had the mermaid puppet with us. It was just a ball. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll tell you what we saw here on our first dive off the California coast, right here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. It was amazing.
Wow. Never ceases to amaze me. What cologne are you going to go with? London Gentleman? Wait. No, hold on.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Dude! An ancient sunken city!
Could it possibly be? Are the old legends true? Wow! It is! It's the fabled lost city of Atlanta!
Howdy, y'all!
I take you to my island, show you lots of good time. I take you around the world and be proud that you are mine. I buy you lots of things, buy you lots of diamond rings. And anything you want, that's why I have to sing. Into Ilucha, oh yeah! Into Inagua, make that thing to Long Island. All around the Bahamas, and Bahama, and Walker's Key. So come go with me, come on, to Bimini. Everybody, let me hear ya! Do it!
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master. We're reflecting on our first cold water dive, or at least mine, along with a scuba cowboy, Mermaid Tiffany. We survived, obviously. And not everything went smoothly, as you heard there towards the end of the segment. Bob Evans from Force Fins is on the line to explain. We made a couple references to his dive mask, which, what happened, Bob? You lost it.
You lost it in the kelp or something. What happened exactly? Do we know? Or what?
You know, I almost went down to Davy Jones' locker. I mean, I've never had... I mean, think about it. I took that weight belt around my arm. It slipped down around my waist. Robbie Maestro says, hey, you got to get integrated weights. We don't have an ass anymore. So my weight belt just slides
okay,
down.
Okay, wait, like hold on. Let's make sure we explain. You don't have a mask anymore. It sounded like you didn't
mask
have...
anymore. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So it slips down right over my mask.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Yes.
So anyway... So I held on to that thing. I went down to the bottom. Well, as I was going down to the bottom, I realized, holy smokes, 56 feet or something, you know. Well, as I went down, of course, I started to go down faster. But since I was holding on to the weight belt, I didn't have my hands on my oral inflator.
Yeah.
And so I hit the bottom. And then when I got to the bottom, I realized that I can't let go of the weight belt because I'm going to go up to the surface because of that wetsuit. It was so buoyant.
Right,
it was like
right.
a balloon.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God, Greg. And then coming up in the kelp bed, it was like, you know, I talked to my good friend Ed. I'm going to go in for a refresher course.
Yeah.
I'm going to get one of those Aqualung BCs with
right.
integrated weights.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you guys didn't have a problem. You guys didn't have a problem. Here, I'm telling you, be careful. And I was like, you know.
Yeah, you know, I had heard all these, you know, this talk of when you dive in the kelp bed, you got to be careful because it has a tendency to wrap you up. You can get tangled up in that stuff
yeah.
and freak out if you're not careful. And sure enough, about halfway through the dive, lo and behold, I'm swimming along, and I feel something get hooked up on my fin. And I'm like, hey, that's the kelp grabbing at me. And sure
yeah.
enough, and I was like, I didn't freak. I was like, all right, just, you know, move it around a little bit. And I was... loose, but I was like, wow, that's pretty interesting because, you know, I'm swimming on, along pretty innocently, and you could see how that stuff could get wrapped up in you, and we weren't really in that dense of a kelp forest, so to speak. So
No, you were smart. You came up with Billy. He skirted you around the kelp bed, and what
right.
did I do? I was telling you, don't come up in the middle of the kelp bed. Don't come up. Well, that's where I was, and
yeah,
it was wrapping
yeah.
up all around me like spaghetti noodles. And it's been a long time. We've been diving Caribbean for what? And, you know, South Pacific
years,
for
yeah.
so many years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it got you a little out of practice.
Still here.
But you lost your mask there. And we were at Palos Verdes, right? Am I saying it right? Or Pacific Verdes? What
no,
is it?
No, Palos. We were at Palos Verdes right out in front of where the old Marineland of Pacific was at one time. Now it's all homes, but no, we had a blast.
It
was a lot of fun, but I gotta tell you, I've realized in order to dive, you gotta be on it all the time, especially cold water diving. And,
yeah.
you know, I just hadn't been doing that in a couple of years, so it was a whole new experience.
Yeah. Well, if you dive that area, be on the lookout for a dive mask, and you'll know that
you have
Bob Evans' mask because it has two big wide circles in the faceplate. It's an old style mask, but it has like color, you know, like vision correction lenses in it, right? And it looks quite unique.
Mask. I had that mask since I was 16 years old. Now that we're thinking about it,
yeah.
I was using that mask when I was 16 off of Palos Verdes. That's how long I'd had it. So
wow.
if anyone finds it, I'd be really glad to get it back. In the meantime, I'm going to go check out that Atomic Viper mask, or whatever it was that I put on. That thing felt pretty good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for me to upgrade.
Well, it might be. It might be. Yeah, I had the folks from Body Glove were nice enough to hook us up with really... good rental gear, and then I had this heated rash guard underneath my 7mm wetsuit that kept me warm the whole time.
You know, you keep saying rash guard. What exactly is a rash guard?
Shaking and bacon.
I was shaking and bacon. That's right. It had like a heating element inside this rash guard in the material.
But what's a rash guard?
A rash guard is like surfers wear. You know,
okay.
like a skin type
you know,
of shirt.
You put around where you don't want to get a rash.
That's
okay.
right. Yeah, it's surfer talk. You know, I'm from California now.
I understand.
So
now.
I got to stay hip with the jive on the left
okay.
coast. So, yeah.
No, that was pretty cool. Even Bob Maestro, I mean, the creator of the Body Glove wetsuits, I mean, he was coming over checking out all the little switches. No, that was Bob Maestro. What a neat man.
No, it was. That was so much fun. It was really nice of them to take us out there and go diving with Billy and... and Jenna on her birthday. That is a family-run operation, and they were very, very generous. And we do thank them for making my first cold water dive there in California quite memorable for good reasons, not just the fact that you lost your mask.
Wasn't that camera cool? They just tossed over the side to check the visibility.
Yeah. They had a little view cam that we'd pull up to a site, like, all right, pop the camera over the side there, and let's take a look and see what the viz is like before we jump in the water.
That's costing American jobs right there.
No, it's not.
Yeah, whenever I go on a dive boat, that's always one of the crew members' jobs to go down. They dive down, they tie off the anchor, and they come back and tell us what the visibility is
like.
Well,
we were on a private charter.
They are costing American jobs.
No. No, it was good. And that was a nice feature. We were spoiled rotten there on the body glove boat. That was the reality of the disappearance.
I love the name, you know. And
yes.
And the side scan sonar, and he's watching TV. I mean, he's got every kind of that's a play toy for the ocean.
It really is. And they make good wetsuits, by the way, especially when you throw that heated element inside there.
Yeah,
built-in urine.
My family, I was just reflecting, knowing them most of my life and growing up with them. It's like they're truly a family. They all work together, they all play together, and it's like they're really an inspiration for people when you hang out with them. They're extremely positive. Bob Meisel's 83 years old. He's like a 14-year-old running around in those trunks he has on.
Yeah, he is a hoot. Their whole family was just really, really nice. And I will never forget.
You're the best, Greg.
Well,
next time we go into that Redondo Beach Canyon.
Yes, the submarine canyon. Yes, that'll be on the list. As long as I have my heated rash guard. I'll tell you more about that next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
I didn't have, I was worried. I was really worried about that dive. I wasn't worried about the equipment. I was just worried about the cold. I thought I'm going to freeze my butt off. When I was in the Galapagos last year, I had to cancel a couple of dives. In the Galapagos of all of places, because I was so freaking cold. And so I had this heated
wetsuit. Did you have a hood?
I had a hood. I had everything you could imagine other than a dry suit. And I thought, well, I'll be fine. No, I couldn't take it. After doing two dives, the third dive, I just couldn't take the cold. And so right before we left for California, these guys from Heated Wetsuits, I think if you go to heatedwetsuits.com, contacted me and said they had this rash guard that I guess was developed over in the UK. And we'll send you a few of these for you to use on your dive there in California. I'm like, okay, and how's it work? He says, well, you wear it under your wetsuit, and it heats the water inside your wetsuit, similar to how it would feel if you had, you know, urinated in there.
On your chest.
Okay, well, actually, the heat element goes all through this rash guard, mostly on the back.
Okay.
But it does heat up the
water. So somehow you peed on your own. Does it actually feel like somebody peed on you?
No,
while you were
really.
In the water, because it's on your back. That's not going to feel like you peed.
No, it didn't feel like that. But it was nice and comfortable.
People that have peed in their wetsuit tell me it's more of a thigh kind of feeling, not a back thing.
Yeah.
You may be doing it wrong if you pee on your own back.
All right, you're talking to the wrong group of people. Those aren't divers. Those are people with fetishes, it sounds like to me. But regardless, this thing worked. And it did heat up the water, and we were probably, I'm guessing, 63 thereabouts. It was definitely in the 60s. It was cold.
Yeah.
And initially, the water rushes in, And, you know, but you immediately feel it getting heated up quickly because of this heated rash guard. They did the trick. We did a 45-minute dive, and I was ready to go again. So hats off to them. They got a new product, and it may be something I use quite a bit here. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Okay, that'll have to do. All right, so we're out in California. We're diving and having a great time with Bob Evans from Force Fins, with the folks from Body Glove. We had three generations of maestros, the founders of the Body Glove Corporation, Bob, Billy, and Jenna. And Jenna was the one celebrating her birthday. And it was just a magical time. It'll be, you know, it was my first dive in California, off the coast there. First, one of my first real cold water dives other than the Galapagos, and I enjoyed it. And with that heated wet rash guard thing underneath my wetsuit, I definitely am going to plan some more of these dives. Now, that was the option. Do you go with the wetsuit or do you go with a dry suit? And I've only did a dry suit thing once, and it's a lot of work. But this heated rash guard, you throw it under your wetsuit, it worked really, really well. And I still had a 7 mil wetsuit, but I got to tell you, I wonder if I even would have wore that thing under a 3 mil or something like that, if that would have done the trick. I don't really know. I'm going to have to talk to the people there at that heated wetsuit company and find out if indeed that does a trick. But I got to tell you, it was a pretty amazing product. And if I would have had that in the Galapagos, I would have not missed any dives whatsoever. And it actually has battery packs built into the fabric. So it's a unique product. I can't praise those guys enough for saving me or possibly turning on a whole new level of diving that I really thought was just too much trouble. And that me being a warm water wuss was just never going to be able to overcome, with the exception of a dry suit. And now you got more equipment you got to haul and all this kind of stuff. And it was just crazy. Now, the Scuba Cowboy was with me. And, Papa, are you backing me up on this heated wetsuit thing? What do you think?
Backing you up on it? It was awesome.
It worked really, really well, didn't it?
It actually worked very, very well. I was quite surprised, but pleasantly so, as it was just a tad bit chilly down there.
Just a tad. And, you know, even Tiffany, who's probably a warm water wuss more than myself, she seemed to enjoy this so much. She seemed to revel in the fact that she could turn this thing all the way up and just kind of feel toasty warm, like she was in a jacuzzi or something. And it was so warm, it actually left a little mark on her back when she took
it off.
That's
too warm, I think.
Maybe slightly, but it wasn't permanent. They weren't permanent scars. It was just a little redness because she was enjoying the heat a little bit more than she should. You know what I'm saying?
The idea is really for it to cut the cold, not for it to eliminate the heat and put you into your own pee bubble.
Right. Yeah, you know those like warnings on jacuzzis that says, don't stand here longer than 10 minutes with all, you know, heat all the way up? Well, she was kind of like, who needs rules? You know, that kind of thing. You think, Pup, is that it's just in her blood to be that way, right?
Exactly. She's just a rule breaker by trade, I guess, or by action. But, she loved it, and she didn't even wait for it to get cold, which is typically the case with a lot of girls. They just have a tendency, I think because they're a little sweeter than we are, they get cooler, a little colder in the water faster than we do. But, yeah, she didn't even wait till we got in the water. She had it cranked up to the max right from the get-go and was very, very happy with the results.
Yes, no doubt. Now, Pup, what do you think about that dive we did in California from your perspective? What stood out? I mentioned the sea lions and the starfish that were some of the biggest starfish I've ever seen on the planet, and obviously some of the kelp. Anything else stand out in your mind that might maybe even inspired a new song from the Scuba Cowboy? What do you think?
Well, I'm right with you. I really thought that the kelp was just quite fascinating because it's just so different. I mean, it's more topography than what we're accustomed to, because no matter how tall coral gets, it usually doesn't get to the point where you're actually, you know, swimming amongst the forest. And of course, that's what it's like with the kelp right off the bat. So that was really cool. The Garibaldis I thought were really nice, which you don't see those a lot. The bright orange ones, I think
right.
That's actually just the California state fish, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you are correct, sir. Yes, yeah, and you know,
yeah.
It's funny. I'd been to the Aquarium of the Pacific there in Long Beach, California, and I, to me, for many years, I kind of looked at that as my first dive in California because I figured, oh, that's how it looks. Now I've dove it without the effects of the cold water. It's kind of, and you know, ironically, it's very accurate. What we saw there on our dive was identical to what I remember in that that California exhibit they have there in the Aquarium of the Pacific, because they had the starfish, they had the Garibaldis, they had sea lions and the works, and the visibility was kind of similar and that kind of thing. So I was, I kind of knew what to expect to a certain extent, but I still enjoyed it immensely. Because it was still a new experience, and we're swimming through some of these cracks and crevices, these boulders that Billy Maestral was taking us through. And it was pretty remarkable when you think it's literally right off the coast of California, right there off probably one of the most populated areas on the planet. And they just have some really nice diving right there, you think?
Yeah, and honestly, I gotta tell you, I was expecting it. Because it is such a high concentration of people and stuff, I fully expected it to be overfished and stuff, and I was quite surprised by the abundance of wildlife. And not just the smaller fish. There was some good-sized fish in there with us.
No doubt.
And they were, I mean, we were finding them regularly. They were just swimming all around us, and every corner we would turn, like you said, the great big giant stars with all the arms, those dudes move fast. I was shocked at how fast a starfish can move.
Yeah, they were crawling along the sea floor and boogieing, for sure.
Well, I got a question for the two of you.
Yes, what, Bill?
Does it seem reasonable to you that that's really where scuba diving started, was California? You know, sport fishing and spear fishing and recreational diving really started in those waters? Can you see why?
You know, I can. You know, from my standpoint, and back me up if you think this is accurate, Pup. But
please don't, Pup, I'm begging you, please don't. Tell him he's an idiot.
The marine life seems bigger in California to me. Like, the starfish were huge. Even the Garibaldis were bigger than I expected them to be. These weren't small little orange goldfish-looking things. They were, you know, 12 inches size fish, and just bigger than I expected them to be. But when you see, like, you know, the giant octopus, you know, they have squids further down south, these Humboldt squid. I mean, these are big animals that live out there in this water.
Cold water, man.
Yeah.
Cold water, man.
I think it probably is due to the cold. You know, a lot of species, and I know this from like deer and stuff, you go further south where it's warmer, they actually are smaller because their body needs to dissipate the heat and stuff. Okay, well, I'm assuming fish are the same way because I agree with you 100%, Greg. I was surprised at the size. That's what I'm saying. I kind of expected it because of the density of the population to be overfished or something.
Right.
And it was just teeming with life. I really was shocked at that. I expected it to be just not as much life. And there was anemones and starfish and fish. And like you said, good size, you know, 12 to 18 inch fish all over the place.
Yeah.
I expected it to be really overfished, and it just wasn't. I mean, I was quite surprised how teeming with life it was.
Yeah, it was really nice.
I mean, pleasantly so, you know.
Yeah.
Pleasantly so.
And Jenna had mentioned from Body Glove that she was hoping we would see the giant sea bass, which we did not, which is, I guess, comparable to the Goliath grouper that they have down in the Keys and down the Florida coast. And she showed me one on the wall there that they had,
Right, I saw that, yeah.
Just massive, massive fish. We didn't see it, but you know, I was like, wow, that's a big. She's yeah, they're pretty common out here if you know where to look, and they'd be out there swimming along, and you might get a nice glimpse. But yeah, it's nice to see the environment. It seems to be pretty healthy from what I could see from one, you know, anecdotal dive right there off the coast of California. Was impressive.
Now, I know you guys want to just go on and on and on and on about your nonsense dive that I didn't get to go on.
Mm-hmm.
But did you hear the Cameron Diaz story related to the Goliath grouper?
What do you mean?
She was on a dive somewhere. She was on a dive somewhere. This happened. The story came out this past week. I don't know when it happened, but the story came out this past week. She's on a dive someplace, and there's a Goliath grouper. She's someplace warm. She's someplace in the Caribbean. And there's a Goliath grouper, and the guy she's diving with brings her over to see the fish, and she's playing with the fish's lip.
Don't.
And apparently, according to her, the fish puts her head in its mouth.
Yeah.
That's what her story is. And I've seen these Goliath groupers, and unless she's got a teeny tiny Tom Cruise size head, that didn't happen.
It happened. I'll tell you why next.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact K7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry and at an affordable price. Go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Getting down big time here for one last segment here on the big show. Okay, let me explain about this Cameron Diaz thing, because, Bill, I know you're shaking your head like, this isn't possible.
No.
She made this story up.
She did.
The truth of the matter is that it's very possible. A Goliath grouper can open its jaws much larger than your head. And I have seen this where, actually, Manny from Manny, Mark, and Megan from back in the
Manny
day.
Manny Puig?
Yeah, the Tarzan of the deep. He would go down and find these Goliath grouper or jewfish back in the day, and he would get in front of them because they could they get irritable and they
look like a grumpy old man.
They flap their gills and it sounds like almost like something
harumph,
boom, boom, and that's a warning. Get away from me! You're bugging me, right?
Okay.
And I've seen this on video, and he's shown me this. And he goes down there, he puts his hand in front of them, and he gets them to bite onto his arm. And they're like large mouth bass.
Right.
Their mouth can open up probably bigger than the width of their body. So the Cameron Diaz's story is not far-fetched. Very easily, a Goliath grouper could put his mouth over her entire head.
She probably shouldn't have been playing with his lips.
She should not have been playing with his lips. And I'm guessing, I would think that the sea bass or Goliath grouper gave her a warning of that thump or two if it felt cornered and stuff. And as far as playing with his lips and stuff like that, yeah, they got a bit of an attitude. They're they look pretty and they look fun, but yeah, they're gonna bite you, you know. And it's not that far fetched. So I assume she lived.
According to her, she lived. According to her, she survived the incident.
But it freaked her out. She was like,
yeah,
oh, my God.
She was a little freaked out.
She couldn't believe it actually bit her. Huh?
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get. That's what you get, you big dummy. Anyway, moving
yes.
on. Oh, next week, don't forget to join us for the Rebreather 3 Forum right here in Orlando. We're going to be broadcasting.
Very excited about that.
From that event. However, this weekend in Santa Clara, California, there is another dive event going on. Rick Stratton is on Scuba Radio right now, who's organizing that event. Rick, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Greg. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are things there at the first annual Santa Clara Dive show, right?
They're fantastic. We're very happily, I wouldn't say surprised, but, first year event, you don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
And it's been terrific.
Yeah.
What a great response.
Yeah, and so, that's in Northern California. And it's the first dive event of its kind in that area, I believe. Right, Rick, or is it?
Well, you say not really the first of its kind. I mean, we had a show a couple of years ago that never really got off the ground.
Yeah.
And then 15 years ago, they had a successful dive show that ran for a number of years. It's been a while since they've had a big show. This is pretty big. It's 122 booths this year. We'll be about 175 next year. So it's a reasonably good size.
Right.
And good, well attended. We've got hundreds of divers on the show floor.
Cool. Well, yeah, I mean, it's very popular for diving there. It's right near where Oceanic's based out of, I believe, right? Oakland, California,
yep.
Right there in that general vicinity.
Yeah, they're just about 10 miles from here in San Leandro. And I grew up in the Bay Area, so it's a hometown kid for me. And then we've got a number of companies that are based here. From Oceanic Group and other dive companies. And also the diving right here is fantastic. Monterey is fantastic to the south. And then the north coast of California is absolutely, incredible.
Well, that's where the Scuba Chef was mentioning earlier. That's where you go for abalone, right? They have abalone off the coast there during season or whatever, right?
Absolutely. Tasty, yeah. Tasty.
Does it taste like bologna or no?
We've already been told it does not taste like. Oh, it does not taste like bologna.
What is it? What do abalone taste like, Rick?
They're snails.
So they taste like snails, like
yeah,
giant escargot.
I would say like an oyster.
Yeah, really?
Like an oyster. It depends on how you cook them. I tend to smother them in garlic and wine, so they taste a lot like garlic
and wine. Oh, that's okay. A good call right there.
Yeah.
I'm liking it a lot.
Yummy.
Cool.
All right, so you got the show going on there. And it's being attended well. What is the plan? Where does it go from here? It goes on today. Is it going on Sunday as well or no? Just today?
Yep.
Okay,
we're
Saturday
on,
and Sunday.
On Mother's Day as well.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Mother's Day, so all the admission from the ladies who attend tomorrow is going to be donated to breast cancer research.
Very
so
nice.
So we're actually, people are buying tickets for tomorrow right now. I just saw a couple being purchased. We've actually got a line of people getting in the show right
well,
now.
Well, if you're going to buy tickets for Mother's Day and it benefits, cancer or breast awareness, you should buy them in pairs, right?
Absolutely.
We're
saying save the boobies.
That's right. We like the boobies.
Yeah.
All right. So
who
there
doesn't
want
to save them?
Yeah, of course. All right. And so is there any kind of events going on this afternoon? Treasure hunts, film festival tonight, that type of thing, or what?
you know, I actually have a big film festival we're doing tonight, and I have to be the MC. I might have to have a few drinks at the open bar before we're having the event. You know, it's a tough job.
Well, that is wine country, so why not partake in the local local flavor?
You know, I'm going to use that for next year and have the wine thing be sponsored by some local wineries.
That is smart thinking right there. I may even show up for that.
We're in! All right, you sold us. There you go. That and the boobies.
It's only
you have it sponsored by boobies this year.
Yes.
Well,
okay.
I think we should do wine and boobies. And what's wrong with that?
Did Time Magazine help you out with the sponsorship on that somehow this week? No.
Ooh, you know, that would have been great timing, wouldn't it?
Yes. Yeah. All right, give out the website for your magazines and the shows there. Rick, what are they?
DiveNewsNetwork.com.
There you
go. Just go to the DiveNewsNetwork.com, and you can find all information about the magazines, the dive shows, and all those cool, fun events. And eventually, very soon, we'll have a cool link to Scuba Radio, so that way they can click from my website and be listening.
Nice. Very good. All right, that'll do it for this week. We'll talk to you from the Rebreather 3 Forum next week. Till then, remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good diving, everybody.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.